Doctors love to use humor.
Well, Mr. Foster, your blood tests are back, and the good news is you're not pregnant.
Because you're
I said not pregnant. Is this thing on? But unfortunately, the CAT scans are just a laceration in your spleen, which is why I asked for a surgical consult.
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
I think I'm just a little on edge.
Look, I apologize, too. I behaved very unprofessionally.
It's just that I'm really frustrated because I can't seem to kick this habit.
Well, listen, may I suggest something that seems to have worked for many of my patients?
Changing doctors?
I'm a qualified doctor. I don't want to learn a new trade.
Can I help you?
Yeah, Dr. Cosmo Kramer. Proctology.
Before you even consider this, I insist you consult a doctor.
What's up, Doc? Doctor,
can't you see a burning? Oh,
and the doctor is in the studio. Dr. Barry Dworkin, it is your Wednesday afternoon house calls. Take a guess. I like that one. Can't you take a guess? Let's take a guess. Yeah, we're going to take a guess. We're going to take your calls for the next hour, 521-8255. If you have a medical question for Dr. Dworkin, please give us a shout. That's the main number, star 580, toll-free number 1-800-580-CFRA, 580-2372. Barry is here until 4 o'clock, so if you have a question, by all means, please give us a shout. We a couple of news stories. You want to talk about...
My phone call today.
Your phone call today. What happened today, Barry?
I got a phone call from a physician who is involved in running Maryvale Medical Imaging. I think a lot of people in the city know about this. This is a huge radiology center. We managed to get patients in quickly to see them, to get the stuff done for our patients. Yeah. Well, he called to let me know that they are seriously considering closing down the center because of the cuts that are coming, that they cannot afford to run and provide the services. And he was, extremely upset about it because he's this is a center that they've built up.
Yeah.
They've integrated. There is a sports medicine center that's linked up to it where they can access the x-rays electronically and help patients out that way. So what you will see is a tremendous domino effect if they close. Because you have hundreds, if not thousands, of people using that place every week, and definitely thousands a month that go there. And where do they go? There are other x-ray centers, but they're suffering the same problems with regards to being able to run these operations. I had Dr. David Jacobs, who's a radiologist in Toronto, who runs some of the centers there, and they've already had to cut back staff and cut back hours.
Yeah.
So it's affecting us, and it's affecting us now. And it's, as I mentioned a while ago, that these cuts are going to hurt patients.
I believe we're working on a story.
He's
been in touch with the news department.
Yeah.
I believe CFRA News is working on that story. That obviously would have a profound effect, a ripple effect.
Huge effect because it will increase wait times to access the services. Hospitals will be more burdened. Trying to find, an example, Ron, say you came in to see me and you had abdominal pain and I thought, let's see if there, it suggested something serious or potentially something serious, appendicitis or something like that, or inflammation in the bowel.
Yeah.
And so I would say, I don't want to send you right away to the emergency room. You're still stable enough. I don't want to overburden that. And let's just see what's going on first. So I'm going to send you for an ultrasound. And a lot of times I can get that ultrasound done. If I see you in the morning, I can get it done in the afternoon because these places are available. And then they send me back the information right away. And I can then, within a few hours, know what to do. Now, I have to send you to the emergency room because I can't get that. And so you end up waiting there. Your time may be potentially, you don't want to say time is wasted, but your time could be potentially wasted. The access to the service is slower.
Yeah.
And it just puts more of a burden on everybody.
Well, we're going to stay on top of that story, Barry. Certainly, I know the news department is working on that story.
Sure.
I'm going to get you to do a diagnosis.
Okay.
And an audio diagnosis. Just before we go to the phones, and again, 521-TALK, 521-8255, the number if you have a question for Dr. Dworkin. I want to play this clip right now. This is Texas Rangers. I'll just set it up here for you. Texas Rangers play-by-play announcer Dave Barnett. Now, when did this happen? Monday night, he was doing a game in San Diego. And this is Dave Barnett. I'll just play the clip here for you.
Go-ahead run is at fifth on what Adams is insisting on calling it a botched robbery. What actually happened was his henchman took a piece literally out of...
There you go. That was the play-by-play of the Texas Rangers
tying
baseball
run
game on
tying
Monday.
Run on fifth. Fifth base.
Yeah, fifth base. His henchman, a botched robbery. What was happening there, Barry?
He was having what was known as a complex migraine. When you hear somebody all of a sudden just talking gibberish or making no sense at all. I mean, you have to worry about other things, neurologically speaking, but the most common thing when it happens, one of the most common things, very similar to the reporter who on the air just started talking gibberish. She was on television.
That was during the Grammys. I have the news story right here. That happened during the Grammys, and Serene Branson.
Yeah, and this is, and although the person is talking and they think that they're thinking that they're putting the words out, but their brain is not allowing them to put those words out. It's absolutely fascinating to see how the brain processes information. And in this case, what the migraine does is it shuts down blood flow to areas of the brain responsible for this. So the brain's not functioning properly. And so you literally get a slowdown in that system and it just can't process what he wants to say.
Is this something, we have to go to the phones here in just a minute, Barry. We actually have a full house at the moment.
Sure.
But is this something he just has to live with? Or is there...
Well, it's as with treating any migraine, there are ways to, depends on how frequently this is happening. Sometimes you don't get any pain at all. You just get this change in voice or verbal expression. But the treatment would be the same as you would treat any other migraine. There are ways to prevent it. There are medications that can be used to prevent the migraine frequency. Certainly nothing is ever perfect, but you can certainly reduce that. But it's very, very interesting to see how migraine can cause that. It's really fascinating.
It's fascinating. Yeah. It shows you just how the brain, the body, how it all works.
You know, it is a fascinating organ. You just, you know, for example, just as an, I know we have callers, but as an aside, you know, they talk about people who used LSD, for example, and they would say we could see smells and feel colors because you get the brain firing everywhere. I mean, literally the neurons are firing everywhere and the brain is trying to interpret all this input. And so it confuses the input and makes one thing seem like something else. It's absolutely fascinating.
We saw that it's a fascinating clip, I must say. And again, he seems to be okay. He's off there, just say the Texas Rangers, just for a couple of days. So it looks like he'll be fine, but just fascinating.
Yeah.
It just shows you the wonders of the human brain. Hey, let's go to the phones.
Sure.
Sharon phoning from Ottawa. Good afternoon, Sharon.
Hi, Pastor. Huh? Pastor, sorry, Pastor. Sorry, Doctor.
Wrong department.
No, I'm phoning because I had a bicycle accident last week, and I fractured a rib. I landed on my handlebars. I was trying to avoid hitting a squirrel. And I fractured my rib, and my doctor said there was nothing I could do about it. It's
just,
is there anything I can do? Like, it's pretty painful.
It is painful, but there's nothing you can do with regards to a fractured rib, especially non-displaced fractures, meaning a rib that's not poking into the lung or risking puncturing the lung. It is extremely painful. Any kind of chest wall pain hurts, and a rib fracture, as I can attest to, because I've had that happen to me.
Yeah.
The problem is you can't stop breathing. Right. So,
yeah,
so you're going to sneeze or cough and you literally hold your side when that happens because it hurts, but it will heal up completely. It is just a matter of time for that to get better. But you can't they used to tape the rib cage to try and restrict movement. But the problem with that is when you restrict your lungs from expanding, you run the risk of fluid collecting in the small airways of the lung. And that condition is called atelectasis, which then can cause pneumonias and other complications. So we just leave the chest wall alone and let the ribs heal up.
And she suggested Tylenol and
Tylenol and Advil. That's all you can really do, but it will get better.
Okay.
Sharon, good luck with that. If it makes you feel any better, you saved a squirrel. You take care, man.
Great. Oh my goodness. Anyway, okay, thank you so much.
Bye. Bye.
Let's go to Joe. Voted on us. Well, the squirrel probably appreciated it. You're
sure
all laughing
did,
there.
Yes,
but... Joe, phoning on your cell. Good afternoon, Joe.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Listen, just wanted to get professional opinion on the ingestion of fluoride through the water fluoridation project.
Mm-hmm.
What do you you know, are there any negative effects to taking in fluoride?
Well, when I look at the evidence that's out there, and, you know, there'll be people who say, I found this study or that study that seems to suggest fluoride is harmful, but in the quantities that it is in our water supply, there is nothing that has convinced me yet on the evidence that's there, and now I'm going to get all kinds of emails pointing out different types of studies. But when you look at the bulk of the evidence with regards to harm, there really isn't very much harm done to people. They'll say somehow it causes brain problems or other issues. But I haven't seen that yet, and I tend to go by what the evidence is. And by the evidence, I mean looking at, for example, an organization called the Cochrane Collaboration. Cochrane is a independent, non-biased group of researchers that will look at all the evidence, high-quality evidence, and come up with conclusions on the basis of that. And these are what we call meta-analyses, which are very strong and powerful ways to show if there are trends. And right now, there's nothing to suggest from them that fluoride causes harm. There are lots of data with regards to preventing tooth decay in children. And I would also suggest that although there is some concern about fluoride, there are many other things that are much more potentially harmful to our health in terms of a global effect on our society than fluoride. So I'm not going to worry too much about fluoride in the water supply. We've had this for a long time, and although that's not an argument to make that we've had it for a long time, therefore it's okay, we've had it for a long time, and there really hasn't been very much in terms of evidence to demonstrate harm to public health.
Joe, does that help you? Oh. Hello, Joe? Oh, okay. Okay, all right, Joe, we lost Joe. Let's assume that helped, Joe. Let's go to Mike here. Mike phoning from Ottawa. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hi. I wanted to ask Dr. Dworkin a question. A friend of mine told me the other day that part of these cutbacks McGinty's making with the doctors is if, say, a doctor sends me for an MRI or an ultrasound and the results come back that there's nothing wrong with me, then the doctor's got to pay for that. Is that correct?
That is if you're doing MRIs, CTs, or x-rays of the lower back for back pain. So if you put down patient has back pain and you send that off, a lot of times they will not do that anymore. They won't even do the x-ray, the MRI, or the CT because they'll say there's insufficient information and that it has to be for specific problems, such as suspicion for ruptured disc or other spinal pathologies, other diseases of the spine. Otherwise, they won't do it. And if it is done and it is normal, then yes, the physician is responsible for paying for that test.
But that's totally ludicrous, because how can the doctor know until she sends me to the MRI? I've had back problems for like 20 years, mm-hmm. okay? And my disc 4 and 5 in my lower back, they lock, okay?
Right.
And I swear that my hip pops out because I can feel the pop.
Right.
So I'll be lying in bed in the morning when I wake up and I'll go to move a certain way and all of a sudden pop. And then my back's out, it's locked, I can't move, I'm in extreme pain.
Mm-hmm.
But so then she sends me for an MRI, right?
Right.
But by the time you get the MRI 3 months down the road, well, my spine went unlocked again and mm-hmm. my hip went back into place again after going through 2 weeks of extreme pain.
Right.
And then when I go for the MRI, then I'm back to normal again and they go, oh, no, there's nothing wrong. Well,
yeah, if your doctor put that there were disc problems and such, then they likely won't have her pay for that. Although, again, when you have it boils down to the information that you're putting down on the requisition. But part of the problem is a lot of times if you have someone with back pain and you don't know what the diagnosis is, you don't know how much information to put in. You also don't want to put extra information that may not be true. So you're sort of stuck. So it's
you know, Barry, I have to interrupt his buddies here. Well, that's ludicrous.
Yeah, it is.
I wrote a column about you just a week or so ago. Still getting some emails on that. Have you heard back from the health minister yet, by the way?
No, Dr. Matthews has not written me back yet to let me know whether it's okay. But never fear, my patient is going to see the cardiologist anyway. But they have not even responded. And, you know, makings of a very good consultant when you don't respond back to a question from a physician.
Dr. Matthews yes. has to get back to us. You know, paging Dr. Matthews.
I got to get in shape. I got to do that. I do. I either got to get in shape or hope ponchos come back in style. I don't like weight loss advice because you get weight loss advice from like everybody. Everybody thinks they got the secret. And people coming up to me all the time. You know what you got to do? You got to chew sugarless gum. That's your problem right there. Yeah, because my ass got fat from bazooka. That's where I veered right there. You ever get weight loss advice from someone bigger than you? You know what you gotta do? Yeah, not listen to your fatter ass for starters. You know what it comes down to? My fitness goals are different than most people's. That's it. That's what I've assessed. Seriously, that's it. Because most people want to lose enough weight so that they look good in a bathing suit, or they want to lower their cholesterol. I just want to lose enough so that my stomach doesn't jiggle when I brush my teeth. That's it. Then it's just maintenance from there on out.
That's too funny. Who was that, Chris? Kevin James. Oh, God, Kevin James. Gosh, that's too funny. We are here, Dr. Barry Dworkin, our Wednesday afternoon house calls. We're going to go right to the phone. Some people have been waiting patiently to get on. 521-TALK, 521-8255, if you have a question for Barry. Elizabeth, phoning us from Woodlawn. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I'm Dr. Dworkin. Thanks for taking my call. what I'm asking about is to be diagnosed with a concussion, do you necessarily have to be unconscious or knocked out and also incoherent? Or can you still have a concussion being conscious and coherent?
That's a good question. And in fact, the second part is correct. You don't have to lose consciousness. You don't have to be incoherent to suffer a concussion. Concussion runs the gamut from mild to severe, just like many other conditions.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you still can have brain damage by getting hit in the head that sometimes only shows up later. Sometimes it can show up in terms of a person's ability to focus or concentrate, or behavior changes. It can be subtle changes. And it's why when people have head injuries, a lot of times we're looking for the immediate effect, but there are specific tests that are done to assess the ability of a person to think through problems, how they respond to various stimuli, how they respond to various situations. And it's a specialized field to be able to detect that, and we don't have enough of that here after head injuries.
Okay.
But the issue is, yes, you don't have to see stars after concussion. Any blow to the head is, by definition, a potential concussion.
Elizabeth, are you wondering whether you've had a concussion?
Yes. Yeah,
Elizabeth go see a doctor?
No, well, you know, I have.
Okay.
I was to emergency as well. They were more concerned about my chest at emergency because I had I fell on top of a vacuum cleaner but fell over it and hit my head in the laundry room onto the cement on the side of my head.
Yeah, so
and
that's
a couple of weeks after I started getting headaches and kind of my focusing for vision. Mm-hmm. So I went to the eye doctor. It's not my eyes. My eyes have not changed since I last went to the doctor in November. So, but no, I've had other opinions, and I get different answers. Some say you are conked out, and others say no. I phoned the Brain Injury Association,
yes,
and they said exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Definitely, no, you do not have to be unconscious to have a concussion.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. People think of concussions as the after effect of being knocked out. But hockey players, you can see hockey players have concussions. The football players now, the NFL, there's actually a lawsuit being carried out by previous NFL players because the NFL downplayed the effect of head injuries.
Barry, we're going to have to move.
Yeah,
we have
sure.
a full house of them. We're going to have to move on.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth.
Okay, bye-bye.
I'm curious, is there anything Elizabeth should do just quickly? If she did, it seems like it was some months ago. Is there anything she should do?
Well, if she's experiencing something different, that is now that she can't focus properly or her vision is being affected that wasn't existing before, I would get that checked out. She may have already done that. She may have seen a neurologist. She's called the right association.
Right.
But there is acute brain injury centers in Ottawa, and you can be referred for that as well. If there are some noted deficits.
If there are symptoms.
Yeah,
if there are still
exactly.
Symptoms,
so okay. shouldn't ignore it at all.
Okay. Derek, phoning us from Orleans. Good afternoon, Derek.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted your opinion on maybe the links between Tylenol and asthma, if that exists. I read some articles a month or two ago about did some studies, and they found the rates of asthma started to go up quite significantly, coinciding with the release of Tylenol back in the 70s, I guess, or whenever back when it was released. And they did other studies like on rats and mice with it, mm-hmm. and they found that, yes, it affected their lungs in some way, but at a young age. So I'm just wondering, what's your opinion on that, if you've heard about that?
There really isn't much of an association with regards to acetaminophen and asthma. There is when you use anti-inflammatory sometimes that can affect a person's asthma. But in terms of it causing asthma, haven't seen too much with regards to studies that demonstrate that. The other thing to keep in mind is that, and you raise a good point, Derek, in terms of asthma rates increasing. But one of the issues is a lot of different factors can occur at the same time. And we can tend to sometimes draw conclusions that one thing may have led to the end result of more asthma. But, you know, you have to look at cities and pollution levels and allergies and other diseases and genetics and a whole bunch of other stuff that might contribute to lung problems and asthma. And so one particular factor, in this case, acetaminophen or Tylenol, may not necessarily be what has caused that. It can certainly be something else used concurrently, because it's hard to isolate one particular variable and follow that through, because people do all kinds of stuff. And to set up a study to look at that issue alone, be very difficult to do. I know that when people are taking Tylenol and or acetaminophen and they have asthma, you don't really see a worsening of the asthma per se. But yeah. it's still a good point to make, just in terms of trying to trace causes for disease, and I think that's good.
There you go, Derek. We're going to go to Mark now, phoning us from Ottawa. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hi there. Hi, Dr. Dworkin. Dr. Dworkin, my mother's been in hospital with a small bowel obstruction, a partial bowel obstruction to be exact. And, you know, she received the NG treatment, and they'd also put a urinary catheter in her for about 5 days, at which point I became concerned because she developed some confusion.
Right.
So I asked for the catheter to come out, which they did, and they put her immediately on Cipro as well as Septra, and the confusion cleared up in about 36 hours. But I recently found out that they put her on, they just started her on Haldol.
Right.
And what I heard from the doctors that this is sort of the standard practice to deal with delirium. My concern is, as I've worked in the healthcare system myself, is that I understand they use Haldol in nursing homes, and it's had a lot of negative effects. In fact, from my understanding, it has actually caused delirium. So what's the policy on Haldol for the
great
elderly?
Question.
Yeah, it's a very
Dr.
good
Dworkin.
Question. In fact, there was a review of this specific issue using what essentially antipsychotic medications like Haldol in the elderly, and they recommended being very careful about using them, because you're absolutely right, Mark, is that there are a lot of side effects associated with it, heart ones being in particular. And also, sure, it can cause more agitation. It can cause more drowsiness. It can cause all kinds of stuff,
right.
Especially in older folks. So the issue with using it should be always based on the potential benefit versus risk. So is this person at risk from their delirium of bounding out of bed and falling and breaking a hip?
Yes.
So there's that. And they're not trying to restrain anybody. So you're not going to tie someone down in their bed. And they used to do that. They used to tie people down in beds to prevent them from getting out of bed, which not a very humane thing to be doing. So they use Haldol at times to do that, but I absolutely concur with you that the question should be asked, how long is someone going to be on that? What was your indication for doing that? And what are you monitoring for any effects of the use of that drug on, in this case, on your mom? She likely had a urinary tract infection from the medications that they gave her, likely from the catheter that gave her a bladder infection that caused the confusion. Right. But the confusion usually clears up pretty quickly after you treat with the antibiotic, because it's the infection that makes them confused. But your question is extremely valid, and I would, if it was my mom, I would ask the same questions. I would be concerned about the use of Haldol, just in terms of the
Mark seems quite knowledgeable. Sorry, we're just out of time here, but Mark, good on you. He seems to be quite knowledgeable, and he's right in the end.
Yeah.
His mother is doing well.
Yeah.
She raised a good son there. Listen, I apologize for not getting everyone on the show. We're leaving with almost
really
a full house.
Holy
the hour did go by very quickly. You're back on Sunday, of course.
I'll be back on Sunday.
There you go. So we can call in then. Again, I do apologize for people who are not able to get on the show this afternoon. Barry, always fun. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.